And we are back. We're coming up on 5 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm Ricky Raffner, and here in the studio with us this morning, we have November's Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month. That's right, ladies. If you're interested in meeting our famous Michael Modjeleski, who was in Cosmopolitan magazine this last November, 1991, you better come over here right now to KVON Radio. We won't give you the address. You'll have to look it up because we don't want to be besieged with fans. And I don't know, people may have recognized you, Michael, from before. You've been with us before. You're author of the book Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, and Coaquital Indians. I don't think that the last time you were here you even imagined that you would be the November Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month. And some people might not realize how being a journalist, environmentalist, author of Inside Passage comes together with being the Cosmo Bachelor of the Month. How did that come about?
Well, First of all, it's like coming home to Napa because I lived here for about 8 years, and I used to write for the Napa Valley Times that was published by Yvonne Fraunfelder. But now I live in Berkeley, and along with my writing career doing my own writing, I also edit and do consulting. And I was editing an author named Lee Roth, who's a Bay Area relationships counselor. And unbeknownst to me, she sent a letter in to Helen Gurley Brown at Cosmopolitan. And 6 weeks later, the phone rang, and it was an editor from Cosmo saying, it's 7:30 in the morning, hi, Michael, you've been chosen as our November Bachelor of the Month. And I laughed. And I said, who is this really? Is this a gag?
Now, did you know that Lee Roth had written to Helen Gurley Brown?
Well, she had mentioned that. She said, Michael, you're the perfect guy for the 90s. You're a writer. You're into the environment and all this stuff. And I might just send a letter to Cosmo. And she threw that out there, and I forgot about it. And she did. She wrote this letter and went ahead with it and mailed it in. But I found out later that they receive 300 solicitations a month from girlfriends that think their boyfriend is cute, or even guys hustling themselves trying to get into the magazine. So I felt quite honored from that viewpoint to be chosen out of 300 men. So
now, so basically, it's a contest. Would you say it's a beauty contest? On what basis do they select you to be the Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month?
Well,
it's not exactly like being the Playboy Bunny of the Month. Not exactly.
When they first called, I was not going to do it because I pictured Burt Reynolds in a centerfold, you know, holding his hand over a critical area. And they said, no, those days are over. The Bachelor of the Month is someone who's very successful, charming, handsome, and sort of making a difference in the world. And I said, well, being a nature writer, does that fit the normal bill of doctors, lawyers? And she said, yes, because we encourage our readers to be in touch with the earth and to help the environment. But Lisa Simmons, the editor at Cosmo, said, Michael, your entire life is going to change come November, and you have to get a P.O. box. You have to change your phone number because you are going to receive mail from all over the world. And I refused to believe that. I said, what? Maybe I'll get 5 letters, you know. And right now,
You were never hurting for women, I'm sure, beforehand. Were you determined to be a bachelor forever, to be one of these guys who has to date all the women you see?
No. A lot of people
being
think automatically
ladies man,
you're
a... Was that ever your avocation? Or?
Not at all. In fact, I was married and very happy, but it just didn't work out. So, and, you know, I had girlfriends, and because I travel a lot, I have girlfriends all over the place. So I wasn't hurting for women.
Women in every port. So in your own way, you were a bit of a womanizer.
A womanizer to me is somebody that just sort of uses women for sex.
Okay, so
and
that
I'm not that way at all.
Okay, good, good.
But anyway, since the ad came out, the letter count is up over 3,000. And right now, because it's
You've gotten 3,000 letters, and they get your address through a P.O. box, or do they write to you through Cosmopolitan magazine?
There's a P.O. box, Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, that was published in the magazine in November. And now, because it's well past November, the international mail has been arriving. Everywhere from the Cayman Islands, Tahiti, Japan, all over the world, letters are coming in from ladies.
And what exactly do these women want from you, Michael? And what about the sale of your book? I bet it's helped to the sale of your book, which, by the way, is beautifully written.
Thank you.
Beautifully written novel, and we're going to discuss... It's not a novel. It's a true story, but it reads like a novel.
Oh, thanks.
That's what makes it so wonderful, and we're going to talk about that as this hour progresses. But what do these women, besides your book and an autograph in your book, what do they want from you? Do they
All
want your body?
All sorts of things. I am in a fortunate position because I'm actually researching this whole thing for another book.
I knew there was a method to your madness.
Yeah. Well, Philip Roth said nothing bad can ever happen to a writer, or nothing, you know, everything good too. But What's happening is they're writing for many reasons. Some to be pen pals. Some definitely have an agenda. And they'll call me up, and I had my first visitor was Miss Memphis from Memphis, Tennessee. And she said that she just
was
had
she really
to meet
Miss
me.
Memphis? Had
yes.
she won a beauty pageant
yes,
there?
Yes, and she had to meet me. In fact, the week after we talked, she flew out all the way from Memphis for a weekend.
At her expense?
At her expense.
Oh, dear.
And we had a wonderful time. She had dated JFK Jr. 8 times, and
oh,
she said
goodness.
That it took a lot for a man to impress her and blah, 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 blah. But the thing is they can go out in the bookstore, wherever they live, buy the book, and they get to know me because it's written in the first person. But I don't know them at all except for maybe a letter or a phone call. So one lady, in fact, was so taken with the book and the author, I guess, that I said, Clara, if you come and see me, how do you know I'm not a serial killer? And she said, well, if you are, I'll die happy. So, I mean, it gets pretty far out there as well.
Well, now, when these women come to visit you at their expense, what are their intentions? So do they intend just to meet you, shake your hand, and go home? Or do they want, besides an autograph, for you to take them out on this great date? What are you obliged to guarantee them? Maybe before we get to those dates, what did Cosmopolitan tell you you were going to have to do as a result of being the Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month? Did they say, hey, look, Michael, if we have you as the Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month, you have to be on all the talk shows promoting Cosmo? Or what did they say? What were the requirements?
It was really, really loose. They knew that I had, being an author, that I do a lot of promotion. In fact, this past year, I just got back from London. I was on BBC, all that. So they knew that I could present myself well. So they did ask if shows called, if I would willing to be on, yes. But the last thing that Lisa Simmons said to me was exactly what a waiter says to you in a restaurant when he puts the entree in front of you. Her final words of advice were, Michael, enjoy. You're going to have a tremendous year coming up. And that's what I've been trying to do. But I have
that
a friend.
That doesn't sound too difficult. I wouldn't mind doing that. Did they pay you any amount of money for being their Cosmo Bachelor of the Month?
No, but I'm willing that a lot of guys would be willing to pay thousands of dollars to get into Cosmo.
Well, that's
because
true.
The people, the women that you meet from all over the world, and it's just so fascinating to sort of find out about female Americana. Different jobs, things like that.
Well, I'm sure this has affected your attitude towards women and dating in general, has it not? And if so, in what way?
Well, I'm learning an incredible amount. It's almost like I'm going to the U of F, the University of Females. And, you know, I'm working on my PhD right now, and the book or the story about this whole thing will be my doctoral dissertation, I hope. I'm learning a tremendous amount. And I have a friend who's a computer hacker. And he's taken the 3,000 letters, and he's trying to find out what region of the country is leading as far as in responses.
And what is the age range of these women?
Well, there's 3 million subscribers to Cosmo. The demographics are from 18 to 32. So my publicist told me, Michael, you definitely have to do this, because if they mention your book, there's 7 million subscribers worldwide. And that's the kind of publicity that you really can't buy.
Wow.
But the computer hacker finally came up with a figure that we're hearing more from women in the South than any other region in the United States. Hmm. So another beauty pageant queen called me up, Miss South Carolina. And I asked Paige, I said, Paige, why is it? And she said, Michael, it's easy because we've all grown up on Gone with the Wind. And we're all looking for Rhett. And the way I'm presented in Cosmo is sort of this crazy adventurer with a devilish smile and all of that.
It's
and
also
she said,
that same picture's on the inside cover of your book in
right.
black and white.
And she said, and this is what I'm learning, is that women are starved for romance. I'm convinced that most men know very little about females in this country and are terrified, in fact, by a lot of women. And so Paige was telling me that a lot of women from the South are looking for Rhett. In other words, they're looking for romance. They read these gothic romance books. They see movies like Gone with the Wind. And they want to meet a guy in real life that's like that. So when they come out to visit, I try not to disappoint them.
Oh, okay. And when we come back from this break, we're going to find out from Michael exactly what he does so that he doesn't disappoint these women. How many have come out, Michael, at their expense?
I've had 7 visitors right now from all points.
You had all of these, of course, are blind dates.
Yes.
On New Year's Eve, what did you do on New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, I met a Playboy bunny in Phoenix, Arizona. In fact, she's flying out for a weekend this coming weekend. She'll be out to visit.
A Playboy bunny and from Phoenix, Arizona. I guess there are a lot of men who would trade places with you. However, if I knew that a man had that many women pursuing him, I'm not sure I'd be particularly interested. I would be I would feel like I was just a cog in a wheel, one of many. And, you know, what would be the advantage? These women must be very, very self-confident. When we come back from this break also, you'll have to give us a profile of who these women are. We're talking to Michael Modzelewski, who was voted November's Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month. And, hey, you guys, if you have any questions out there as to how to win the heart of your chosen lady, we have a guy who's going to maybe give you some tips and advice. And, ladies, if you'd like to talk to our Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month, now is your chance to do so. Our number in Napa is 255-5866. From Vallejo, 643-8463. From Up Valley, 963-8463. And from Fairfield and Vacaville, 428-5866. I'm Ricky Raffner. We'll be right back. And now let's hear from George Starkey. Stay with us. And we're back. We're coming up on 17 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're talking to Michael Modzelewski this hour. He's been with us before. The last time he talked about his book, Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, and Kewaukutl.
It's a tongue
twister. Kewaukutl Indians. And the Inside Passage, as we're going to find out once again, is between the coast of Alaska and...
In Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah.
And you spent 18 months there.
Right.
And we'll get into that in just a second. But that is, this book is what led you to become the November Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month.
Right.
And as you mentioned, Cosmo called you the embodiment of the 90s man. You're into the environment. You take better care of your body than you do of your BMW. And by virtue of your life experiences, you undoubtedly would bring more into a woman's life than she could dare dream of.
Do you
concur with that assessment?
I have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing the whole thing. I don't take it at all serious. I try to maintain a degree of detachment. In fact, when Channel 4 KRON-TV came to the house and they did a piece for the 5 o'clock news, and the reporter, Tom Sinkiewicz, they were there for 3 hours.
And was he jealous? He must have been.
Well, he's very jealous, but he's married and happily married. But afterwards, when he left, he said, Michael, you know, we expected to come up here and interview a real jerk, somebody who's really egotistical. And he said, you're so friendly and down to earth. It's as if none of this is sinking in. And I don't think I ever want it to sink in. I mean, I don't want to get a big head or take myself at all seriously, because it's a wonderful opportunity to meet women and all of that. But I don't want to let it, you know, become bigger than it really should be.
Now, these women who are writing to you, I guess you even got, I noticed I was just flipping through some of these many letters. One of them even requested to know how much you charge for your lecture series and whether you lecture, and she teaches school. So some of these requests range, I would imagine, from asking you for a date.
Right.
To probably some of them marriage proposals. How many
A lot of them
proposals?
Are pen pals. The range is amazing. I've heard from a prima ballerina who dances up in Seattle, the Playboy Bunny who I'm dating. A prisoner wrote me a letter. She's in prison and has been incarcerated in Florida since 1981. I wrote back and I said, hey, that doesn't bother me. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. So in her second letter, she told me why she's been in for 10 years, second degree murder.
Wow.
But the circumstances were strange. Someone broke into her apartment, tried to rape her, and when she was defending herself, the gun went off and he died. So I guess extenuating
bad
circumstances,
luck.
Bad luck. She's in jail. She said, Dear Michael, I get out of prison after being in for 12 years. I get out in 2 months, and I need a boyfriend bad. Would you be at all interested in talking with me? So sure, why not, you know?
So have you talked to her?
Yes. In fact, she calls me once a week, collect, because, you know, she doesn't have any money being in jail, and she sounds like a wonderful person. So prima ballerinas, Playboy bunnies, prisoners in jail, waitresses in truck stops, anthropologists, just every occupation.
This must take up an awful lot of your time. But, of course, you're using this now for your next book. Do these women realize that they're going to be featured in your next book? Do you get their permission?
Well, I'm taking notes, fast and furious, and I'm not sure if it'll be nonfiction or fiction. But it's... On any given night, I can tell you the weather report anywhere in the United States, because a lot of ladies track down my phone number. The phone will ring, and I'll go, hi, it's Michael, and I'll hear, hi, this is Cynthia from Chicago. Hi, Cynthia from Chicago, how are you? What's the weather there?
Your phone number's listed.
Well, it is, and they can track me down. And then I have call waiting, beep, beep, and it's Carol from Tallahassee, you know. And some nights I talk to ladies from all across the U.S., which is really fun.
Out of the women, out of the 3,000 letters that you've received, how many of these women have you met total? And
total,
are you going to meet all of them?
15, you know, because there's a lot of ladies locally in the Bay Area that have seen it in Cosmo, and they call me up, and the ones that I have a connection with, I invite over for dinner, because I love to cook for a woman and to try to spoil her.
God, that sounds great.
Yeah, so they'll come over for dinner, and I have candles and champagne.
If you've
and
never met these women before, I mean, it's basically as good as a blind date.
Yes.
Maybe in some cases better because you get to see them.
And a lot of the females are very aggressive, like Miss Memphis who flew out. There was no talk of, Michael, can you look into a hotel, book me a room that's close to your apartment? And I just went with the flow. I picked her up at the airport. We went out to dinner. We went back to my apartment. And being the perfect gentleman that I am, I said, Kim, why don't you sleep in my bed and I will sleep in the living room on the couch. And then in that perfect sort of honey-dripping southern accent, she said, Michael, I didn't fly out here 3,000 miles to sleep all by myself.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. And we'll leave the rest of that to your imagination out there. Well, you know, it's really surprising. I can't imagine that these women would have done this 20 years ago. That it, for some reason, the sexual revolution has emancipated, if you want to call it that, some of these women who otherwise would not be taking the leap, so
definitely. And Helen Gurley Brown,
and I don't know that that's good or bad particularly.
Well, from a man's point of view, it's very welcoming, because 20 years ago, Helen Gurley Brown, who's now the publisher of Cosmo, wrote a book called Sex and the Single Girl, saying, why do we have to be these wilting wallflowers that wait for a man to call us or whatever? Why can't we take initiative and be a little bit more aggressive? And right now, I'm going through this total role reversal. Because being a man, previously to this experience, I had to always court and pursue a woman. And right now, the UPS man and the mailman come up to my door just about every day. I'm getting sent flowers and lingerie.
Wow.
Silk boxer shorts from Victoria's Secret. I have six pairs now. So I'm receiving the same things that I would send to a woman. They are now sending to me. Exactly. Flowers and lingerie.
Well, does this make you feel like a sex object? Because obviously these women are and if the way in which you're presented, of course, you have your clothes on. It's not as if you don't. In fact, not only do you have your clothes on, you have this incredibly heavy coat on. You're actually not heavy. It looks like a winter jacket of some sort. And you're being licked by your dog.
Right.
By
well, the psychology is if the dog likes this guy, then he's passed the test. Because we all know that animals can check people out better than we can.
I see. So you look pretty harmless. Pretty harmless. But you are wearing clothes here. And, of course, you're not really in the Cosmopolitan magazine article, as I recall. It's the same photo. You're not pictured nude. And yet these women very much look at you, I would imagine, as a sex object.
Yes, I get, you know, Dear Michael, Hunk of the Month, you know, and that's on the envelope, you know, with not even my last name, and the mail still shows up. So a lot of women do sort of look at it that way. But I think the fact that Cosmo approved and put me in the magazine said a lot. But, you know, it's strange that I knew that I was trustworthy when I got a letter from a mother telling me that I should date her daughter. That Pam needed some fun.
Well,
and
she thought you were trustworthy anyway.
She thought
you looked trustworthy. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, Michael, if you could share with us a couple of those juicy letters, some of your favorite ones. If you have any questions for Michael, the Cosmo Bachelor of the Month for November, or if you have any questions about his book, about which we will be discussing this next half hour, give us a call 255-5866 here in Napa. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're coming up on 25 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We're talking to Michael Modzelewski this morning. He's a journalist. He's an environmentalist. He's author of Inside Passage. And he is talking right now about his experience of being Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month for the month of November. And we're learning about what it's like to be considered a sex object by women, what it feels for a man to be considered a sex object. If you have any questions for Michael, if you're wondering how he did it and how he's able to keep all these women interested in him, are they all interested in you still, Michael? Are they willing to meet you once and then forget about you? Or do most of these women want to continue some kind of ongoing relationship with you?
I'd say most that I meet, we do have an ongoing relationship. And I make it very clear.
How do you keep them straight?
I communicate, and that's
the
whole thing.
That's a lot of women, 3,000 women.
Well, I don't communicate with all of them, but the whole thing is what I've learned is that men do not listen to women. If you're any men out there that are listening, if you just pay attention, if you listen to your wives or your girlfriends, I mean, that's invaluable. Plus, if you communicate.
Wait, stop right there. I want everybody to hear that, because I think a lot of men don't realize that they're not listening. When did you first realize, Michael, that you maybe weren't listening to the women in your lives and that maybe that is the key to winning these women over?
Well, as I made the analogy before to going to the U of F, University of Females right now, maybe I'm in graduate school, but my undergraduate studies, I lived in Aspen, Colorado for a year, and I realized at the age of 21 that I knew nothing about females.
Do you have any sisters?
I had a sister, but I was always gone, and there was an age difference between us.
Okay.
So when I was in Aspen, and women would fly in Saturday to Saturday to go skiing,
And a lot of times they would sort of hire me as their ski teacher and all of this. And I had a great experience because I learned and I asked questions and I made mistakes and I found out what men are doing wrong in this country and why women are starved for romance. And the biggest thing is men do not listen. And the other thing is that women are dissatisfied with is men do not communicate their feelings. And I try to do that.
Some women think men don't have feelings.
Exactly. But, you know, we do, and I mean, I'm a man, and I have a lot of male friends, and we have just as many feelings as females do, but we do not talk about them. And that frustrates women, and that leads to the breakup of a lot of marriages and relationships. So when we do date, and when I do see these women, I communicate my feelings, and I tell them, you know, that yes, I would like to get married again, but I believe in the axiom that I love you, but don't let that get in the way of the friendship. That friendship is all important, especially when you're getting to know somebody.
Well, that sounds like good advice. That sounds like very good advice. I hope you men are listening out there. In terms of breaking down the barriers and the obstacles to communication, obviously when you're meeting these women for the first time, there's a lot of pretense, I would imagine. A lot of people who want to present themselves in the best light. So it would, I would imagine, take a lot of interaction with these people to get a sense of how well you would relate to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you checking these women out for potential mates? I mean, are you trying to figure out who of all these women would maybe make the second Mrs. Modjeleski?
Yes, I mean, that's in back. That's definitely in the back of my mind. You know, it's something that I would like to get married again sometime and find a partner, you know, to go through life with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I keep an open mind to all different possibilities, too. So both things are happening at once.
Okay, who are some of these women who have written to you and with whom you are communicating? You were going to select some of your choice letters in there and share those with us.
Well, there's an actress in Hollywood.
What do these women say?
There's an actress in Hollywood that's gotten some good roles, and I'll change her name just to protect her privacy. But here's a beautiful picture, a glossy sort of out of her portfolio, and it's a very short letter, but this is typical of a lot of them. Hi, I'm Jacqueline. Maybe I should start by telling you a little about myself. I'm 5'6", 106 pounds. I'm very athletic, well-bred, exotic, and passionate. I'm seeking romance, magic, and adventure with a fun, happy, sexy man. Call me if you like. So here there's no, I'm looking to get married, I want to have children. This is almost a letter you would receive from a man. She's looking for adventure and fun and, you know.
So ladies, if you're looking for a guy, don't tell these guys you want to get married. Just tell them you're looking for fun and adventure. Of course, it doesn't hurt to look like this woman either. But basically, so that obviously was very attractive to you.
Right.
How many of these women did write letters in which they actually spelled out the fact that they are interested in marriage? Maybe not to you, but that was their ultimate goal.
I'd say 25% of the 3,000 that I received.
Wow,
did make it clear.
Yeah. They did make it clear.
And it's funny, but a lot of women, it's hard for
them. Have you met any of those women?
A couple of them.
Oh, really? So that didn't turn you off necessarily?
No, not at all. But a lot of the letters start out, "Dear Michael, I can't believe I'm doing this. A friend showed me your picture in Cosmopolitan." Because it is pretty embarrassing to write to a total stranger that you've seen in a national magazine.
It sure is.
But a lot of those same letters that start out in such a shy manner always end up with sort of a risque comment.
Okay, on that note, we're going to go to the news with George Waters. So do stay with us. We'll be back. And we are back. We're coming up on 25 minutes before 12 noon, and we're talking to Michael Modjeleski, who is an author. He's a journalist. He's written a book called Inside Passage, and he was also voted to be Cosmopolitan Magazine's Bachelor of the Month for the month of November. If any of you have any questions on what it takes to become the Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month or what it's like being the Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Our number in Napa is 255-5866. And Michael, you were sharing with us some of your letters, and you received 3,000 letters from women, it sounds like, all over the world,
mm-hmm.
because Cosmopolitan Magazine does go all over the world. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this has helped the sale of your book.
Tremendously.
What about your parents? How did they respond to all of this newfound success? And I bet you lost some of your very good friends who are very jealous of you. Or maybe they want you to share some of these women with them. What's going on there?
Well, with my parents, it's funny, but my mother, she loves to tease me. And one night I answered the phone, and it's funny, but a lot of the Cosmo girls, I don't know why, but their names are not Mary, Susan, and Carol. Their names are Cassandra, Monique, Sabrina. So one night the phone rings, and I answer it, and I hear this voice going, "Hi, Michael, this is Mandy from Phoenix." And I go, "Mom, is that you?"
Well, you knew immediately it was your
mother?
Well,
I could tell by the intonation, you know, and she's going on and on. "I saw your picture in Cosmo, blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Mom, stop it. That's frightening." But anyway, she's giving me grief because I'm the oldest in the family, and all my other brothers and sisters are married and have children. And she's going, "What did I raise? You know, you're the oldest in the family, and now you've turned into this bachelor."
The sex maniac,
yeah,
probably.
So she's teasing me mercifully. But a lot of my friends, especially my male married friends,